Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This is it, the sprint to the finish line. President Trump will be campaigning in Ohio, Indiana, and Missouri today ahead of tomorrow's midterms. Yesterday, he hammered home the Republican theme in Tennessee.
Very simply, if you want more caravans and more crime, because crime comes with it, vote for the Democrats. Vote for them. If you want strong borders and safe communities, vote for the Republicans. It's very simple.
Former President Obama, delivering the Democrats' closing arguments, mocked President Trump for saying, as Obama put it, that the country's biggest security concern is impoverished migrants 1,000 miles away. And he pounded the message from the Democrats that Republicans were almost able to repeal health care reform and its protection for people with pre-existing conditions. The late John McCain thwarted that effort with his one vote. For the latest, let's bring in NPR's political reporter, Jessica Taylor. And Jessica, is that pretty much the divide going into tomorrow? President Trump and his base talking about a caravan in immigration, President Obama and the Democrats trying to get across pre-existing conditions.
Democrats have really been focused on this message of health care. They see it as definitely a winning issue, and it is because Republicans, as you mentioned, they voted for that bill that ultimately failed that would have weakened pre-existing condition protections, and that is one of the most popular parts of Obamacare. And it would be somewhat ironic if that is the issue that now wins them back the House after it essentially lost it 8 years ago in 2010. But Trump is hammering home this message of immigration and sort of this many say politics of fear and racism. But I think that's going to help them more in the Senate in these very red states than it would in the House.
We'll take up a little bit of that because we know that Paul Ryan, the party leader, has apparently reportedly called President Trump to ask him to talk more about the economy. Last week they had that spat where the president said he was going to get rid of birthright citizenship. And Ryan said, you can't do that. There seems to be a divide on the Republican side.
There is. And, you know, I listened to some of Trump's rallies that he had over the weekend. He will mention the economy, but it is sort of still he seems to spend the bulk of his time talking about immigration or other issues or reliving his 2016 victories. These rallies have become somewhat predictable in most instances at this point. And I think that national Republicans I talk to, especially ones that are watching the House, really wish that he would talk about. I mean, there were very, very good jobs numbers on Friday that I think any other traditional Republican president, you would have seen them play that up very much. But he talks about it, but it gets overshadowed, I think, by anything else he does.
Well, let's hear a sampling of voters because they seem to be responding to the things that their party leaders, or at least on the campaign trail, are talking about. Here's Christy Sprong, a Democrat from Avondale, Arizona, and she was asked about her top issues.
Healthcare. Pre-existing conditions is one of them. My daughter's a diabetic, so I want to make sure that if she goes and gets an insurance company, that is still going to be taken care of for her, because it's really important.
And then there's Dottie Niklos from Chapman, Pennsylvania. She told NPR's Michelle Martin she'll vote Republican because of her concerns over security and immigration and what she perceives as bad behavior from Democrats.
I see mobs in the street, and Michelle Obama, God bless her, she said, when they go low, we go high. Well, now all of a sudden it's the opposite. It's when they go low, we kick them.
And she's referring to a comment from Eric Holder, who said that very thing. But the mobs in the streets, the president's also been out with the mantra, Republicans produce jobs, Democrats produce mobs. Of course, Democrats are saying, wait, those are, you know, Americans enacting their right to protest. But is that going over?
Well, I think that they certainly saw a bump in the wake of the Kavanaugh hearings about a month ago. But pollsters and strategists I've talked to for Republicans, that's largely, I think, dissipated for them in the House. Again, it still could help them in the Senate because what we're looking at are two very, very different playing fields. The Senate, they have the best map. Republicans have the best map in a generation with 10 states that President Trump carried, some by 20 points or more. But ultimately, only about half of those are competitive, so it could be a lot better for Republicans. They thought it would be at the outset, but still, probably they're going to maybe pick up one or two seats, would be a very good night for them. But the House, it's being fought in these suburban seats where you have independents and especially suburban women that want to register their dissatisfaction with President Trump. And remember, these were districts that were gerrymandered to really be favorable toward Republicans, but we saw them really shift in the 2016 election. So it's two entirely different battlefields, two sort of different Americas that we're looking at in a way.
It's so interesting because it does depend on where the seat is that's up for grabs as to what might happen. NPR political reporter Jessica Taylor, thank you.
Thank you.